Welcome to Becoming a Sales 2.0 Business, Part 2, Selling the Way the Customer Buys, the second of a three-part series on the practical side of Sales 2.0. I'm Jeff Weinberger, and I'm responsible for marketing for sales solutions at WebEx, and joining me today is our resident sales expert, Stu Schmidt. Stu, who is VP of Solution Sales at WebEx, is a recognized thought leader in sales effectiveness and web-touch selling. Stu's experience includes more than 25 years in the technology industry, including 10 years developing sales methodologies for companies ranging from startups to Fortune 50 organizations. He also developed the innovative sales process currently used throughout the WebEx sales organization. Welcome, Stu.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate being here today.
So today's podcast is focused on how sales reps and sales organizations relate to their buyer, make sure they're selling the way the buyer buys, and of course, how technology lets them do that, but also how technology has changed the nature of the relationship between the buyer and the seller. So, Stu, one of the things I often hear you say is that customers don't buy solutions, yet most of us are used to selling solutions. What do you mean by that?
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, I do. I must say, I do get a number of raised eyebrows, if not even raised hackles, on that one. I really don't believe customers buy solutions. So the question then becomes, well, what do you mean, Stu? What do customers buy? So I'll go back and I'll ask, okay, well, why should a customer go through all this trouble of, you know, think about it in your organization. What's it like to try to buy something? I mean, you have to go get budget approval. Then you have to go through all kinds of, you know, purchasing legal stuff. You've got to get a bunch of people internally on side. You've got to do a bunch of selling. Oh, and then guess what? You've got to go and talk to a bunch of vendors and find the best one and talk to sales reps, negotiate a contract, get the thing through legal. Man, it's a hassle. So why should you bother doing all of that stuff? And we haven't even implemented yet, right? Why should you bother doing all that stuff? Is it because you think this nifty latest new piece of software is kind of cool? Is it because, you know, the solution itself is what you're after? You know what? The reason that customers go to all that trouble and what customers are buying is they're buying business results. They're not buying the solution in and of itself. The solution is a means to the end. The solution will take them from their current situation to achieve the business results. But there's the problem. What we as sales reps tend to do and sales managers is we love to talk about our solution. We should be talking a lot less about our solution, especially in the beginning, than we should be talking about the customer's business results. Eventually, we do have to marry how the solution is going to help them get there. But you know what? As a buyer myself, I don't want to talk about your solution until you tell me how you're going to find a place on my income statement. When you do that, then I'm open to hearing about your solution.
So it's about finding a place on the income statement then.
Fundamentally, you know, business results, and it comes down to, you know, at the end of the day, shareholder value. But of course, depending on the level of the individual you're talking to, that particular business result may be at a much lower level. But at some point, it still has to be a quantifiable, financially viable business result that you're achieving. Now, there's a whole bunch of personal results that have to be achieved as well in a selling cycle. However, the main driver, the main reason why an organization should want to fund somebody making a buying decision is because it's going to achieve something for that organization in their market.
So it seems like a pretty obvious thing to say that you should really, as a sales rep, be talking about what your buyer cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what buy-sell alignment means, or can you sort of explain what buy-sell alignment really does mean?
Okay, so not exactly. Let me back it up a little bit and say, okay, for a number of years we've been talking about, you know, we have to understand our customer's buying process in order to be able to effectively align, if you like, our selling process to that buying process. That's not exactly what I mean by this aspect of buy-sell alignment. What I'm talking about here is the fact that the customer not only has a buying process, but they have a buying style. And that buying style is individual to the individual person involved in the buy-sell process. You have to understand the buying style of the buyer, because I'm a big believer in the fact that you can't sell in a way different than the customer buys.
That's a very
go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
Sorry. No, that's a very good point. You have to be able to sell the way the customer buys, or else I guess the customer doesn't buy.
No, they don't. I mean, and then there's been a lot of models about this, you know, the whole idea of their buying style. And there's some tr- tried and tested ones, you know, that still work. I mean, one of the ones that I like to use often and is Moore's market maturation. I mean, you know, some people are early adopters, other people are early majority, and guess what? You have to sell differently to them. There's another common one that's out there in the industry and has been around in sales 1.0, which is, you know, is my buyer a commodity buyer or is my buyer a value buyer? And what I mean by value, of course, is that they recognize something that's unique about a potential solution, if you like, that will directly relate to how I can achieve those business results I want to achieve, as opposed to a commodity buyer, of course, who's buying primarily on price, fundamental feature functionality, and market availability.
So you're saying that we try to distinguish between commodity and value buyers to distinguish among the buyer types, but mm-hmm. isn't that the same distinction we've always been making?
Yeah, to a large degree, yes, and that's why I said, you know, it was back in the Sales 1.0 era, because I think that there's another aspect to this that you have to think about, and it's not just are they a commodity. If you almost look at this as a 2x2 matrix, right? On one axis, you'd have commodity and value buyer. On the other axis, and this is the new one, think about, does your customer know how to solve their problem, or is the prospect open to direction? And that's the other axis. So I like to think about this as the product buyer or the solution buyer. And when you cross those two, when you think about, okay, I've got a value buyer here, you know, they definitely recognize there's something unique that they need to help solve their business problem and achieve their business result. But if they know how to solve their problem, I have to sell to them completely differently than if they're open to direction. You know, and a really simple example of that is, let's just take an IT person, you know, who's looking to put in a network or something like that. You know, an IT person is typically the kind of person, if they're putting in a network, hey, they can specify, they can tell you, I need this many routers and this many switches and firewalls and gateways and all that stuff, right? Where you might go to another buyer that let's say is trying to do something in e-learning, and they might say, you know, Stu, this e-learning thing is really cool. All my competitors are talking about it right now, and I know I've got to do it, but gee whiz, I'm not sure where to start. Guess what? You're selling to those two buyers in a completely different way. And I think one of the key aspects of Sales 2.0 is to understand not only buying process, which actually comes later in the sales cycle, but understand buying style very, very early in the selling process, and modify or sell in the appropriate way. Because remember, you can't sell in a way different than the prospect is buying, so you really only have a couple choices. You can sell in the way they're buying, or you can potentially try to move their buying style.
And I would imagine the latter is a lot more difficult.
The latter is actually, it seems on the surface more difficult, but you can easily find out whether they are movable in literally just a couple minutes with a couple simple questions. Things like, you know, Jeff, have you considered what it would take for your instructors to teach in this new e-learning environment? You know, that simple question is going to tell me, the answer, I should say, to that simple question is going to tell me an awful lot about your buying style. Are you a product buyer, value buyer, solution buyer, commodity buyer? Where are you on that matrix? And based on your answer, you know, I can sell to the appropriate way.
It sounds like there's some pretty simple ways to determine, but it really does sound like sales reps have to figure out where in those four quadrants you just described their customers really are. I want to add one other thing, one other key dimension to this, if you don't mind, Stu. One of the things I know we've seen a lot of in the last maybe 5 or 10 years is that prospects and customers have much better access to information. So while they still come to you with their particular buying styles and their particular preferences for buying value or commodity, for buying your product, for buying a solution, they're much better informed because of, for example, the Internet. If you look at Web 2.0 technologies, all of a sudden, buyers aren't learning everything about your products and solutions from you. They're learning it from your website. They're learning it from communities. They're learning it from their peers. They're learning it from conversations in the market, learning it from conversations online. And they're coming to you already educated.
Correct.
And it seems to me like one of the key changes for a sales rep is you have to be ready to deal with a customer who knows maybe more than you're prepared to tell him by the time he shows up at your doorstep. And that's before you even have the first conversation.
I agree.
How does this change the relationship between the sales rep and the prospect?
You know, first of all, I agree with you completely. I mean, this is one of the biggest fundamental shifts in Sales 2.0. It's not so much what we want to say about ourselves anymore. It's about what the community is saying about us. So the first thing that we have to do as far as the sales reps is we have to the sales reps have to know that this is happening. And because they know that it's happening, they should be out there checking to see what the community has to say. So they should be listening to the community. They should actually be participating in the community. But you know, when all is said and done, it basically comes back to the same fundamentals. It's still all about delivering value, about delivering those business results. So we must be able to be ready with the message that will deliver business results to that very well-educated prospect. And by the way, we should assume that they are very well-educated. Please, please, please do not start with your corporate overview. I will leave, and so will 50% or maybe even more of the prospects you talk to.
It sounds like you'd almost be insulting your prospect if you just assume they knew nothing.
In today's world, I think that's valid.
So I think we've you know, after all of this, where I'm listening to what you're saying and saying these are ways that you can actually move from an idea of selling to a prospect to helping your prospect buy. It's got an increasingly complex sales cycle, buyers demanding more and more information faster. You know, one of the things I know you do every day with Webex is you show our own customers how to meet the needs and demands of customers faster and more effectively. How are our customers using web touch selling to do a better job of satisfying these ever more demanding prospects?
Okay, so people are implementing all kinds of aspects of web touch selling, but I think the four biggest ones that I see happening all the time is do your qualification and build in, by the way, build in a buying style qualifier into your qualification and do that without face-to-face. Almost in, you know, any industry, I'm seeing that happening today. Another aspect is doing your discovery call visually with your client. It's very, very powerful. There isn't one single sales call that I've been in where the customer has answered no to the question, "Would you mind if I take notes?" But you know what? If you're doing this on WebTouch, you take those notes visually with the client interactively, and you will be amazed at the result. The relationship building and the interaction with the client gets much, much deeper. Also, one of the other aspects is staying in constant contact with your client, and that's part of that is the sales portal, and I think I've talked about that previously. You know, having a portal where your prospect is able to access what you've already spoken about, your presentations, etc. But it's more than just the portal. It's also literally putting yourself on the customer's IM buddy list and putting your customer on your buddy list so that, you know, when the customer has a question, they can ask it, because that's how people expect to work today. And then the fourth aspect is that whole aspect of immediately bringing a subject matter expert in on a call, even when they're not there physically with you. Very, very powerful way to accelerate the sales cycle and to answer your customer's questions and to bring value in an immediate way.
Those are some very important ideas, Stu. Thanks for sharing those opinions from your experience with our customers. But let me ask you my favorite question, which you know I always like to close out with. Can you offer a couple of tips that our listeners can use tomorrow morning when they get to work to start doing this more effectively?
Okay, Jeff, good question. I mean, first of all, first thing you should do is listen. Assess. Go back and take a real honest, open look at the way you're selling. Sit in on a few of the calls with your reps and ask, are they truly selling or creating business results, or are they still selling, or if you like, pushing products or solutions, even solutions? But are they having business result conversations with the client? That's step one. There's only two reasons fundamentally why they wouldn't be having business result conversations with the client. The first one is that they don't know how. The second one is that they may not know what business result your solution brings to your client. Depending on the answer to that question, I think you've just got your next 2 to 3 to 4 week action plan. You know, you're going to have to either help your people understand how to sell solutions how to create business results, or you're going to have to give them the message, which clearly articulates how your particular solution creates business results for the various prospects you're dealing with.
Well, those are very, very great, very good tips, Stu. Thank you. Thank you, Stu, and thank you for sharing your experience and your insights today.
Thanks for the invitation, Jeff. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and to share these thoughts with our audience.
Thank you. If you want to learn more about web touch selling, visit webex.com. I hope you found some great insights into aligning your sales process with your buyers and speeding up your sales cycle by helping your prospects buy. Please join me and Stu for part three in the series, Becoming a Sales 2.0 Business, Measuring the Sales 2.0 Process. Thank you.